It's very difficult for somebody to predict with high accuracy, but I would say that we will see changes in travel behavior in the short term and medium period. And of course, the way that the tourism behavior will evolve during that period will have longer term impacts in the future as well. So, yes, at the moment, we are in a stage whereby many restrictions have been relaxed, but the virus is still among us and we don't have a vaccine. People are desperate and they're looking forward to go out. The tourism industry and the economy in general are also looking to open up their businesses for the obvious reasons. So there is both a demand push and an industry pull to start reviving the tourism economy.
Yes, now, it is very much a situation of there's a lot of pressure building, isn't there, among the consumers as well as also the amongst the industry.
This is very true, yes. A kind of a responsible pressure, I would imagine, because everybody understands the economic implications and disruptions that they have been happening to themselves and to their local communities. And everybody wants to contribute or start going back to something normal. Now, from a consumer point of view, I think there have been some changes that they're going to influence how people will behave while they're traveling, or they will travel, or they will do any kind of leisure activities in short term or medium term. And I would like to probably summarize this impact in three or four bullet points.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Now, during this lockdown, people, I think, they have experienced things, or they have seen things that we already knew from a totally different perspective. And what I mean by this, we had always been talking about climate change, the impact of tourism and any other kind of economic activity on the environment, the need that we need to be more sustainable and responsible. Well, during the lockdown, we have seen globally what happens when the tourism activity stops. Dolphins being back in the oceans, Venice be not smelling again, isn't it? The Great Barrier Reef probably being better, and so on. At the same time, we have also realized that our consumerist lifestyles, going somewhere on holidays and consuming food that it doesn't come from there, or going to a big hotel that they employ, a kind of a slavery coming from third world countries. We understood that this globalization or global supply chains in tourism and again in the whole economy, they cannot be sustainable. There is something wrong with that. I believe that people have seen in real life, in inverted commas, under unprecedented or negative context or settings, what it means not to have the impacts of this globalization of unsustainable behavior, that they have reflected on their behavior. So when they will go back, or for them to go back, hopefully they will be requesting to consume a more sustainable or responsible product. So when they will go, hopefully, to a restaurant, they will ask, where do you source your products from? Do you support local economies, local farmers? Hopefully, they will select to stay at an hotel or an accommodation property where they see locals being involved and not multinational companies sourcing labor from cheap countries. When they will be out in national parks, they will rethink again in terms of where they camp, where they throw garbage. They will be out at destinations and they will not be simply taking photos, but they will be eager to talk to the locals, learn about their culture, respect it and appreciate it. So hopefully this lockdown period has made people to recalibrate or reassess their social values or priorities or lifestyles. And I hope this will be reflected in terms of what type of tourism experience they will be seeking.
I think there's a lot in what you've said there, and I agree with it, that it has been an opportunity for reflection. and for people to see the importance of tourism as an economic force when the rug's pulled out from underneath it, but also to recognise that this is an opportunity to examine their behaviour and how that can contribute, as you correctly say, to what we want, which is a more sustainable and more responsible tourism. Do you think that there are going to be difference in the demographics of the people who are, you know, particularly age and experience in travel? Do you think that will have an impact on which groups are more ready to be looking for a different, a better form of tourism?
I don't think age will make the difference. I mean, of course, the seniors have been the most vulnerable, isn't it, to the coronavirus. But what I will see, or I would expect in terms of change, in terms of demographics, is the revival of family trips or three-generation leisure experiences, whereby people will tend to travel among family and friends that they trust or they feel that they're more secure and safe among them. I wouldn't see mass tourism or groups and big packages being popular. I don't think it's feasible anyway. And I would see many more people experiencing leisure products, being a restaurant meal, a family event, a nature-based experience in a park, walk among grandparents, parents and kids. This has to do, of course, in terms of the restrictions that you have to be with smaller numbers and people that probably you trust. But I think it also relates with the fact that people probably and hopefully they have realized that they have to spend more quality time with people that probably in the past they have ignored. Husbands with wives, parents with children, grandparents with children. Yes. And when they're out, they would like to take the opportunity to co-experience and co-learn or co-teach their other generation about an aspect, healthy eating, appreciate the nature, you name it. So I think, again, the coronavirus, it was a very unfortunate event, but I would like to see it as a kind of an opportunity for everyone to reassess what they're doing. From a supplier point of view, of course, this has many implications in terms of what type of tourism experience they should be designing, for whom, when, how many, and what type of interpretation and knowledge they should be providing, or the fact that they would need to build more synergies with many other communities and local industries, farmers, national park managers, artists, Aboriginal people, communities, events, you name it. And again, I think this is another opportunity that the coronavirus has brought forward. As soon as the tourism industry and the hospitality industry shut down, everybody realized in a hard way how big the industry is and how big the multiplier effects of this industry are among many different sectors. Restaurants closed down, grape growers, farmers, food producers had problems.
Yes.
Everyone, even those that they haven't realized it, they understood it. So everyone has understood how important it is for the tourism industry to build these multiplier effects and the synergies among different sectors to ensure a sustainable regional development. And I think, again, both the demand and the tourism industry needs to capitalize on that fact and try to promote and support this multiplier effect within an economy as well. And everyone that, from its own aspect.
And that multiplier effect actually feeds into authentic tourism, doesn't it? I mean, if I'm getting the message from you that with the opportunity for reflection at individual and very much at consumer and a community level, if we're looking for a more authentic tourism, it is actually going away perhaps from the artificial theme parks perhaps, and more to the local area with the local guides and the local food. Is that the message?
Yes, yes. I think probably somebody can express it something like back to the roots, rather than, yes, having the commoditized, mass-packaged experience whereby you go to a place and you don't know where you are and whether you are in a tourism resort in Fiji or in Gold Coast, the feeling is the same.
Oh, well said. Yes, very well said.
Doesn't matter. The buildings and the swimming pools and the theme parks are more or less the same. So whether you're Gold Coast or, I don't know, Hong Kong or Orlando, it doesn't make any difference.
This actually is taking an opportunity because, you know, the original premise of tourism and travel going way, way back was obviously looking at for the health and well-being and learning opportunities of the traveller. And that seems to have got swept aside to a large extent, not totally, of course. And this is an opportunity to bring it back, you know, as you said, you know, to the roots of what tourism and travel is supposed to be. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Why we are traveling and how traveling can be a transformational experience or a self-development experience for the tourists, but the local communities and people as well.
Yes, transformational and also beneficial, whereas it has been, I think, a very unbalanced system in the past at all levels. So that if we see, if we're seeing less of group tourism and perhaps less of the theme parks, we are seeing and more families travelling together. I believe you're seeing that the family road trip and cycling could be getting a bit of a rev up. Is that the goal?
Definitely in the short term because people are still afraid of flying and it's not possible to fly in the immediate future. So road-based transportation with your own vehicle or a rented one is probably going to be the major transportation mean.
And, of course, when you have that family road trip and you were saying multi-generational, bringing in the grandparents, bringing in the grandchildren, that's a big tick back to nostalgia tourism, isn't it? And building, as well as that, building the family bonds through the family, you know, the planning, the actual experience, the anticipation and the memory of that shared holiday.
Exactly, yes. For the older generations, a nostalgia of what they probably had been doing with their own parents or grandparents. And, of course, something that the current grandchildren will enjoy and keep in memories to pass it on to future generations.
To building it on. Because now, and this is one thing I'd like to explore with you, because travel can be so much of people's identity. We all know about the bragging rights of, you know, I've been here, I've been there, I've been everywhere. Now, how are the bragging rights going to change when at the moment we are restricted to exploring our own state, which is wonderful, and ultimately one day we'll be looking at our own country, hurrah, and then wider. How is that going to change in the short and medium term how travel is a part of people's identity?
People do develop themselves through traveling. They learn, they interact with other people and they learn their culture and they reflect on their own one. But another major aspect, I think, or benefit of traveling in inverted commas or leisure in general is what we usually call to build place identity and through that to build your own identity. And what I mean by this, the meaning that people usually associate with a place refers to the experiences they have in this place. So to give you an example, an extreme example, yeah? Homes until now, unfortunately, for whatever reason, they have been places whereby the majority of the people use the homes to sleep, eat quickly if they were eating, and go. Now, during the coronavirus, people have experienced their homes totally different, something probably that the older generations think about, a place where the whole family unites and share a meal, a place where you spend a lot of time, quality time with your family members to interact. And you define home, the space whereby you have and you're doing these activities. If you go to a place and you get married in this place, you immediately associate this place with your marriage. Mm-hmm. Even if the place is ugly or destroyed, you will still appreciate, you would like to protect it because this is where you got married and you would always like to go back. So people define spaces based on what they have experienced there, and what they experience there comes back to their identity in terms of how they have developed their personality and their identity and themselves. Definitely, how we have been experiencing spaces or places during the coronavirus or after that, it's going to have a significant impact on who we are, what we value, and how we see the places around us. I would imagine many destinations, for whatever reasons, restrictions or to support the local economies, they would try to capitalize on that or to strengthen that, to try to persuade people to stay locally and support their local spaces and communities, the local supply chains. There might be an issue of nationalism that everybody might say, every state, every destination would try to persuade and lock in, let's say, the local residents to stay locally rather than spend their money internationally or interstate. And again, what people will do for whatever reasons in what spaces, it will definitely have an impact on how they see the space, how they fit into this space, and how they use it and they define themselves.